Hello and welcome to the Corporate Buzz podcast. I'm your host Keetana Tiwari and I'm here with Money Control's Corporate Bureau Chief Prince Thomas after a short break to catch up on the top news from the corporate world. Hi Prince, welcome to the show.
Hi Keetana, it's good to be back. Hi.
Prince, let's start with today's news. The RBI monetary policy meeting took place and the committee, they projected a headline inflation of 6.8 in Q3 2021 and the GDP growth was projected at minus 7.5% for FY21. And it's also important to mention here that last week we saw the GDP data coming in and it showed that the economy is bouncing back and experts also are hoping to see a V-shaped recovery.
Right.
Can you explain this in the context of corporate India and, you know, the corporate's point of view?
Yes, so I think the basic takeaway that you get from the RBI policy announcement today is that the focus is on growth and getting back growth in the Indian economy.
Right.
Inflation has been a big priority, but I think right now it's about doing anything that will give a push to growth. And if you look at the estimate or the outlook that the RBI has got, it's now a better outlook. I think that the revision is an upward revision in the GDP forecast. And I think that's in line with, like you said, the GDP numbers that were announced last week.
Okay.
And even if you look at the overall commentary and the tenor of the governor's talk and the way he addressed the media, I think the focus is on growth. It said that he could do anything to and do more to push for growth. Now, on inflation, I think that's why the inflation may not be the immediate priority for RBI, though it is always among the top. Right now, I think it will keep an eye on inflation. It wouldn't want to inflation to go beyond the territory that it's mentioned. But it will do anything to improve the liquidity. And I think the liquidity supply of money has kind of, improved from the, previous monetary policy announcements. And that has been the basic objective of the RBI, to ensure there is liquidity in the system, that also prompt the companies to start investing, because many of them are restarting operations, they need money for that, and also for fresh investments. And all the GDP numbers, if you see, except for the services part, the manufacturing sectors have done well. And if you look at many of the sectors, wheat, cement or steel, many of them are almost back to their pre-COVID levels and operating at near 100% levels. So I think the focus is that, to ensure that companies have that liquidity cushion to restart their operations and also improve their capacity utilization and then also start reinvesting. So that is the basic message that I think the RBI wants to give. And probably that's how it's going to be in the coming months.
How inflation will directly help in this growth?
I think the concern is that will too much of liquidity lead to inflation, or will it hamper inflation? So, and what does it do to the prices of essentials? I think that is the concern. So the balance always for the central bank is to, or the challenge always for a central bank is to balance between growth and inflation. Will too much stress on one thing lead to a kind of a warning signal from the other?
Okay.
But right now, I think the priority is about growth, and now that the RBI itself has given a revised outlook, which is better than before for the GDP, and everyone is expecting GDP to pick up in the third quarter and on the fourth quarter also, because the fear earlier was that after the pent-up demand goes away and the festival season gets over and we are past Diwali, there would be some, tempering in growth or in demand. But it hasn't drastically happened. Things are still holding up in a very decent way. Next year, I think the FY21, you will always have the cushion of the base year being very low. The base year will be 2020, so the growth rate has to be better. But the thing is, how much of the recovery that we are seeing, will it continue in the third and the fourth quarter? And the government has been saying that it's a V-shaped recovery. And I think the RBI is also trying to, you know, ensure that the recovery keeps happening on that same pace. So inflation, the concern would be that what that does to inflation. If inflation does go beyond the range that the RBI has given, then it may be forced to do something on it. But till then, I think the focus will be on growth.
Okay. Another sector that we may see a lot of growth in is the pharma sector, especially since we've been seeing some definite answers with respect to vaccines. This week we saw that the UK government has approved the Pfizer vaccine and it will begin vaccinations from next week.
That's right.
And as a result, we're seeing that many Indians are planning to make short trips to UK. Would this really be a feasible option? Will they be able to get it?
I mean, I really don't know how is that going to work, because the first priority for any government would be to vaccinate those who are the most vulnerable and the frontline warriors, which are the healthcare workers, doctors, nurses, or people who are doing essential services. They would be the first, and then the people who have who are vulnerable, be it the senior citizens or those who have who already have some health concern, they would be the most one. This one, the promise, and you know, some of the travel agents, so one doesn't know what credence there is of them promising a package where they, you know, they include vaccination.
Right.
I think that's a complete opportunism that's talking here. And I think it will be better that people don't fall for it, because unless it's, it has the approval and clearance from a government, say the UK government does say, okay, we don't have a problem with that. I think otherwise we are getting into a very gray area of the whole vaccination space.
Right. And talking about India, we are still not too sure what vaccine we may get. And we had a report in Money Control as well, which said that Sputnik V may be the one that the Indians will get. But the thing is, we still don't know much data on the vaccine because it came from Russia, right?
Yeah, it is true that Russia, the data around the whole vaccine hasn't been as in terms of availability compared to the other vaccine development that's going on. But the fact that is that the trials are going on in India, and there is also whatever data is available, it shows that the efficacy percentage is higher than most of its peers.
Okay.
Cost wise also, it's somewhere in the middle. It's not the cheapest, but it's also not the most expensive as of now. So cost-wise also, it sits pretty, and the government may take further steps to discount it for, especially for those vulnerable. And second, and the third, I think the whole transportation part, I think the last couple of weeks, a lot of focus has been on the logistics of vaccine, you know, storage, transportation, administration of vaccine. And from that point of view, the Sputnik, I think, scores, because it doesn't need that extreme kind of cold storage that a Pfizer vaccine needs. So it does, kind of tick the boxes on three counts. But it's a very important thing that you mentioned about the data and the how confident are we about the data that's come out of Russia. I think the trials are happening in India. One would then, you know, if we can probably go ahead and take decisions when the results of those trials come in and accordingly take a decision. But so I think we'll have to wait a bit on that.
Prince, there was also another interesting report from DHL where they stated that they may be able to transport vaccines from anywhere to anywhere in the world in 5 days. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, sure. So I think, the German company, it's a leading courier service provider all across. In India, it is the largest. And it's something that it has been doing, not just vaccines, but anything to do with the pharma or the healthcare sector. So it already has a kind of a supply chain, if one could say, or the whole network that is needed to transport vaccine. Now, it is not just for vaccine, but for all shipment, it promises that anywhere in the world from point A to point B, it will be able to, send the shipment within 5 days. And the fact that it is saying the same for vaccine, I think means that they have the infrastructure to pull it off. Especially for instance, like a Pfizer vaccine, which will last only for 10 days, even at minus 75 degree storage. So, which means that even after 5 days, you have 5 days more to administer it. And the critical thing that DHL says is that this 5 days also includes reaching the last mile, be it the clinic, the hospital, or the individual. So I think that is the critical part. It's not just about reaching the airport. I think it's encouraging. But in India, what we still have to wait for is the kind of requirement that will be there initially. Because we have to remember that even as the vaccine transportation happens, the other normal economic activity also has to keep going on. So,
right.
So the capacity utilization has to be managed. And for that, the government needs to give these companies an idea about what the initial requirement would be. Based on that requirement estimation, then these companies will start setting up the infrastructure. So I think for most of the companies, be including the cold storage or companies who are going to supply the syringes or vials for administration of the vaccine, I think they're still in talks with the government and waiting for that very critical information.
Right. Now moving on to the aviation sector, IndiGo is planning to call back all its employees back to work and remove leave without pay from January 1st. Can you talk more about this and where other aviation companies are at this point?
IndiGo is the largest. It almost probably has about half of the market, domestic market in its hand. And it has been the most aggressive, and you see in terms of resuming operations, it's already touched 1,000 flights a day. And I think now that the capacity has gone up to 80% that the airlines can use,
right.
IndiGo will be the first to reset capacity. And I think the CEO, Ranajay Datta, even said that the airline would want the capacity cap to be raised to the maximum 100% early next year. So the whole thing about removing leave without pay is a reflection of two things. One, that the numbers are getting better. Domestic traffic we have seen has increased month on month. Even during this festival season, we have seen that week on week there has been a considerable increase in traffic. So the hope is that this will continue through the new year and to the next year also. So Datta, I think, clearly said that he's expecting the revenues to keep improving from now on. So which means that they would need, as they expand and reopen the capacity to 80 and then to 100, they would need the staff back, so which is a good thing. Also equally critical would be about the salary cuts that the airline had announced. And for some of them, including senior pilots, the salary cuts are almost about 50% of what they're getting. I think the next thing to look out for would be on that. In terms of its peers, I think IndiGo has been the only one who has actually cut the leave without pay completely from January 1st. It's applicable. Some of the other airlines, including SpiceJet, has said that it has raised the salaries for some of these employees, but for not for all. Air India, we are not sure, because just earlier this week, the two pilot unions, they had sent off a letter to the aviation minister saying that their salary cuts are only increasing and not reducing. And GoAir also was among the the first to start leave without pay, and quite a considerable percentage of its workforce still remains on leave without pay. So IndiGo, was always the leading player in the aviation sector, and it has led here also. Only thing is, we may not be able to equate the same kind of optimism with all its peers. We'll have to wait and see on that. But the overall tenor for the aviation sector is becoming even more positive than before.
Right. And Prince, is there any word on the fare cap that has been laid on flights?
I think the cap is there till, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's still somewhere in January or February. The fair cap will be there. And I think the whole attempt for the, from the government's point of view is to ensure that fares remain at an affordable level and at a level where it actually encourages people to travel. But an airline's, from an airline's point of view, it's not a great thing because it robs the airline of the flexibility to alter it, the fares according to the market condition. Because if there is some place where demand is slacking, then it can even offer fares at lower than the cap that the government has specified. Right. Or make use of a segment where the demand is overstripping supply, though it's a very rare instance right now. So I think airlines would surely want, you know, more of a free hand and to let the market forces decide on the fares, but then the government has other other priorities too. So let's see how long that continues.
Right. And finally, the auto sales numbers came out this week and it's shown an uptick due to the festive seasons. Prince, would this mean that the automobile companies are back to pre-COVID levels?
Well, I think month on month, if you see, yes, things are getting better. On some segments, it's even matched the numbers from year-on-year basis.
Okay.
And it's nearly almost across the board. The surprising fact for November was that nearly all car makers did well except for market leader Maruti, which was a very surprising thing to happen because normally Maruti does better than its peers.
Mm-hmm.
And here we have a situation where only Maruti's numbers went down. That was surprising, but overall, I think both four-wheelers and two-wheelers, nearly every manufacturer saw a very healthy growth in numbers. And the fact that the Diwali is over, I think interesting thing would be to, the key thing would be to look at how things pan out in December. And we should remember that these numbers are the wholesale numbers. These are the numbers that car companies and bike companies sell to the wholesale dealers. Now, when the dealers release the data, I think that will be the more critical thing to understand how things have been. And because those are the actual buying that's happened, the retail numbers. So that will come within a week or 10 days and we'll wait for that. But yes, overall, I think the auto sector continues to be on a good recovery mode.
We'll see what happens in the future weeks in the sector.
Sure.
Thank you so much, Prince, for all these details.
You're welcome, Kritna.
With that, it's a wrap on this episode of Corporate Buzz. If you have any other queries or suggestions for us, please do write to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thank you for listening.